Pattani in Thailand's deep south has the air of a sleepy town as people begin the day. But there's something more here, something the officials and army want to keep in the shadows. For nearly two decades, along with two other provinces, the military has been fighting an armed separatist movement. The Deep South used to be a Muslim sultanate. Today, it has a population of 80% Malay-speaking Muslims. Some who have been detained by security forces say they were tortured. Activist Ismail Tay says he was forced at gunpoint to confess to being a separatist. The army denies ever using torture.
They want to protect themselves. They don't really care about the victims. They deliberately deny all torture allegations. But human rights groups have solid information about torture cases.
But he sees some good news coming. Even though Thailand is a signatory of an international convention against torture and forced disappearances, it has no laws against it. But a bill will be tabled in Parliament next month proposing such regulation.
Military leadership here in the Deep South tell us they welcome the laws on torture and forced disappearances, but they think it's mainly to reassure the public. They say that there have been no abuses by the army because their soldiers are trained to respect human rights.
We have been operating based on a good moral compass. It doesn't matter if we have this law or not. In fact, we have been accused of crimes we did not commit.
But according to Ma, these are not just rumors. He says his abductors were careful not to leave marks on him to hide their actions.
One of the officers said, "Why won't you confess?" Later, they told me that I was part of violent incidents, but I told him that I was not. I was kicked and slapped, but I didn't say anything. They stripped me naked and tied me up. They put a blindfold on, then they used a rubber band to hurt my testicles.
Attacks by separatists are still taking place, but the frequency has decreased. Ongoing peace talks have started and stopped several times over the years, never fully taking hold. The army has a big footprint in the Deep South to combat the separatists and conduct humanitarian missions to help allay suspicions of the local people. But Ma feels that for some, the damage is already done.
People who are wrongfully tortured suffer ongoing consequences. Young people can't return to school, they can't get a job.
Pet songbirds are commonplace here, displayed in small, ornate cages, on show for all to see. It's hoped that Thailand's anti-torture bill will afford the well-being of its prisoners that same transparency. Scott Heidler, Al Jazeera, Pattani, Thailand.
Joining us by Skype from Bangkok is Sunai Pasuk, a senior researcher at Human Rights Watch. Many thanks for joining us on the program. Thailand has a dark history of torture and enforced disappearance. Give us a bit of context here as to why that is the case and how this law could make a difference.
Well, it has long been recognized that enforced disappearance and torture are serious problems in Thailand. The UN has recorded over 80 cases of enforced disappearances. None of them have been resolved. Human Rights Watch believes the actual number could have been much higher than that, but because the victims and their family are too afraid to come forward and tell the truth of what's going on to the loved one. So that is on one side. And then the other side of the coin is torture, which is commonly used by the police, by security forces, by anti-drug units. And without any law to recognize these heinous practices as criminal offenses, perpetrators, these rogue officials, continue to use torture and enforce disappearance as they wish without fear of being punished. And if they were caught, they are not punished for committing enforced disappearances or torture. At best, they were convicted for assault or holding someone against their will. And for enforced disappearances, there is no body, there's no murder. So that is the basis of why there is such a deep-rooted impunity in Thailand and why torture and enforced disappearance continue to exist.
How confident are you that this bill will pass? Previous attempts to get it through have failed?
Well, I am to be honest, I would say that I cautiously welcome the move by the parliament, which unanimously approved the first reading of the draft law. But the draft itself, as proposed by the government, is still very weak, not in full compliance with international standard. So I hope that the vetting, which just started last week, will improve the language of the draft to make it in line with international standard. That is one thing. But equally important is why the law hasn't been in effect yet. The Thai authorities, the Thai government, should demonstrate their commitment and sincerity in ending enforced disappearance and torture by stop all practices that lead to torture and enforced disappearance. So arbitrary arrest, secret detention, incommunicado detention, all these practices need to stop now. But on the contrary, no, the government has not listened to calls made by international and domestic groups that police unit, security forces that carry out counterinsurgency in the Deep South or anti-drug units. They can no longer hold anyone at will in secret incommunicado.
Okay.
So this is the basis of the public doubts whether the government is serious about ending torture and enforced disappearance, or they simply want to have a law that will be shown to the international community that Thailand has or is going to criminalize torture and enforced disappearance, but the practice will continue to be the opposite.
Okay. Thank you for your thoughts, Sunay Pasuk, a senior researcher at Human Rights Watch, speaking to us there from Bangkok.
Thank you.